This sermon series is kind of born of my own giftedness and lack of giftedness. I love to preach. I love to preach Easter. I love to preach about your life. I love to teach God's word. I hate preaching Christmas. There, I said it. I remember about 5 years ago, we had this massive Christmas crowd at our last church. And I asked Marissa how the sermon went, and her answer every single week is, "You did great." She went ahead and told me what everybody in the church already knew. "Jeff, you kind of missed it." That's the most criticism she's ever given me on 8 years of marriage about a message. And so I have always had a hard time preaching Christmas. I just own it. I deal with it. I just like to sing Christmas songs and tell you Jesus was born. Enjoy little baby Jesus. God bless you and let's go. But I've still got like 20 minutes to fill up, so we can't do that. So Marissa asked me several months ago, what if we did this? What if the Bible stories that you usually preach on and talk about, we just read those earlier in the service, let those texts just speak for themselves, and then you get up and just tell us the good news. Just tell us something simple about Christmas that everybody will buy into, that everyone will believe in, and that is available for everyone, and you can be less stressed out. And I said, let's go for it. And so the theme that she worked up that I am delighted to join in preaching on these next few weeks is faith like a child. There's nothing that's more Christmas than children, is there? There's nothing that's more Christmas than children. You already have projected your anxiety about Christmas and family. No seven-year-old is afraid of Christmas. No seven-year-old is dreading the holidays. No kid in fourth grade says, "Oh man, we got to get up early and unwrap presents and then drive to grandma's." No little kid is afraid or fearful or anxious about the holidays. And it's ironic that little kids are excited about Christmas, because Jesus said, if you want to be in my kingdom, if you want to play on my team, if you want to be on my end of the pool, you have got to come to me like a child. Jesus said, if you want to be in my kingdom, you've got to have a faith like a child. Now, we, of course, kind of like pat kids on the head and say they're cute and get good pictures. But I actually think Jesus was telling the truth when he said that. That we cynical adults would do well to live a childlike faith. And there's no period of time that we should focus on that more than the Christmas season. Did anybody get stuck at the kids' table this last week? Ken, you are. Bob Goff says it this way. There's always room at the kids' table because that's where Jesus always sits. And I have loved that. There's always room at the kids' table because that is where Jesus always sits. So if we want to experience the joy of Christmas, we will come with a faith like a child, and we will delight in sitting at the kids' table. There's no element of faith that children project more, that we would do well to model, than a faith that anticipates. A faith that is expectant. When I was a little kid, Jarrett and I, who's a brother 2 years younger than me, we used to share a bedroom in the little house we lived in Louisville, Kentucky. And every night before we went to bed, we would ask Dad, "Daddy, is tomorrow cartoon day? Is tomorrow cartoon day?" And he'd say, "No, Jeff, 6 more days till cartoon day." Jarrett would say, "Daddy, is tomorrow cartoon day?" "No, Jarrett, 3 more days till cartoon day." And we would wake up with that same excitement and we'd say, "Daddy, it's only 4 days until cartoon day." Now, I am old enough to remember when Saturday morning actually had cartoons. So why don't you right now just take 10 seconds and find a person next to you and tell them what your favorite cartoon was as a child. Just go ahead and do that. All right, you always want to know about me. G.I. Joe. Oh, yeah. G.I. Joe, destroying Cobra and Destro. I love G.I. Joe. You had to be a boy of a certain age to really dig into G.I. Joe, but I was of that era. Jarrett and I projected this anticipation that you only see in a first grader, right? No one that's 37 hops up, well, at least that has a job and doesn't live with their parents, jumps up and says, I can't wait for Cartoon Day. Only a child lives with that excitement, that their head hits the pillow in anticipation and they wake up with the same expectancy, that a childlike faith looks forward to the future. You know why a childlike faith looks forward to the future with anticipation? Because an adult-like faith, sadly too often, is one of cynicism, is one of negativity, is one that is not expectant, that is not trusting the future, that is not believing that even when things are dark, that light will prevail, as Roger read for us in the book of John. A childlike faith is a faith that anticipates, believes the promises that have been given that Cartoon Day will be in 6 days. And a childlike faith is one that meets the world with that trust, even when everything around it drags it down. I love you, buddy. I know he does. He stays awake. Most of y'all fall asleep. It's a balance, you know. That's a childlike faith. He's listening to my sermon. See, this is what I love about the faith of a child. It is a faith that looks forward and says, God is going to bless. God is going to provide. A childlike faith is one that looks at the complexity of the world and says, in spite of all that, I still trust that God is in control. I still trust that God is in charge, and I dare not let the cynicism or the fear or the division define me. I am excited about the day and the world that is in front of me. So let me just ask you this question. When you meet and greet the world around you, are you living with a childlike expectancy and anticipation? Or are you buying in to the culture of lies that says the world is dark and getting darker? Do you wake up with a hop in your step that says, God is going to take care of me, God is going to bless this world, God is going to provide? Or do we live with the chronic negativity that too often defines even those who claim the name of Jesus Christ? It's really funny. Whenever I meet somebody outside of church, they go out of their way that says, I don't go to church, I'm not into church, I'm not into God. They always go out of their way to tell me one thing, though. Oh, there is one preacher I really like. Anybody want to guess who that is? Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen. He's got hair like mine, he's a great preacher, you know, all that stuff. Joel Osteen. Now, when I talk to people inside of the church, guess what one preacher they like to badmouth? Joel Osteen. I've heard more Christians run down Joel Osteen like he's a host on cable news. And this is what it always boils down to. People outside of the church and many times outside of the faith will say, Joel is so positive and my life is so terrible. And people inside the church, what do they complain about Joel about? He's too positive. Because man, the world needs more negative Christians. We need more negative people. When we live with anticipation, when we live with a childlike faith, what do people soak up when they are around you? Is it a faith that looks forward? A faith that anticipates? A faith that trusts God in spite of the complications? Do they soak that up from us? Or do we live with a grown-up faith? Life is hard, I'm going to tell you every single day. Suck it up and deal with it. You see, a childlike faith says, I know things are tough. I know life is hard. I know that this is a difficult time in my life, but I am trusting God and I am believing in God. You see, this is the hope that the Jewish people lived with all through the Old Testament. It was an anticipation that the Messiah would come. You read through the Psalms, and you see stories that predict and announce the coming of the Messiah. You read text in Isaiah, as Roger read, where even though life is hard and even though life is tough, there is an anticipation of one who is coming to level the playing field, to right the wrongs and to forgive our sin and to lead us when we cannot lead ourselves. But over time, and any Old Testament scholar will show you this, over time, that great anticipation of the coming Messiah gave way to a sense of cynicism. It went from that anticipation, that positivity, to life is tough and it's going to only stay tough. People say to me, if I would have lived in the time of Jesus, I would have known that he was the Son of God. I would have known that he was the Messiah that came into the world. Well, I'm not sure that we would have. Because what had been bought into at that time was darkness. And what we still buy into today is far too often darkness. And if we buy into darkness and defeatism, we will always miss Jesus. If we buy into darkness and defeatism and pessimism, we will always miss Jesus. I believe it. I'm hitting my hand so many times there. But it's true. It is true. The same is true of those who lived at the time of Christ. And the same is true today of those of us waiting to receive the gift of Christ. I feel like sometimes our house is a post office. We get more stuff delivered to us, boxes, books. Everything that comes for the church gets sent to our house. Everything that comes in terms of books that I want to read gets sent to our house. Our son, who could start a shoe company out of his living room, all of those shoes come to our house. So it is actually a rare day that we don't get multiple boxes from UPS. It's a rare day when we don't get that. So when the doorbell rang a year ago, I used to go running in anticipation that it was someone at the door. When the doorbell rings now, I just kind of blow it off and know that it's Pete the UPS guy who just leaves the stuff there. I mean, he's got our garage code. He could rob us right now. Over time, I went from running to hearing to all but ignoring. I think it was back in September. I was home alone with Clive, and I was having one of those moments where I was kind of learning how to deal with his crying. And he was fine. He was just crying. And I was not fine because he was crying. And the doorbell rang, and I'm like, oh, it's Pete. So I'm bouncing him, not shaking him. I'm bouncing him, trying to calm him down. About 30 seconds later, the doorbell rang again. And it was in one of those moments that I was trying to get him to calm down just a little bit. So I am not going to go and be polite with Pete for 30 seconds in order to give up on this moment where I can finally get him to fall asleep. So I made my way up to the door about another 30 seconds after the second doorbell. And I saw a red sedan pull out of our driveway and go driving down the street. No package left at the door. It was not Jehovah's Witnesses. I have no clue who it was. So if you have a red sedan and you had a pastoral problem in September, God bless you. I hope it got worked out. But I do want you to know that over time, we just kind of ignore that which comes to us, don't we? Over time, we just kind of neglect that which is literally brought to a front door of our soul. But a childlike faith is one that goes running in anticipation, regardless of how many times we have felt let down. A childlike faith is one that trusts that when God comes to us in Jesus Christ, that it is going to secure our future and it is going to provide for us. So let me just give you a couple things that you can do to live with the faith of a child. We've already laughed about it, but the problem is it's not funny. Family is tough, isn't it? Family is difficult. There's family that we don't talk to that we wish we could. And then there's vice versa. Can we just go ahead and say that? And everything else in between. Family only really comes one way, and it's sadly complicated. This Christmas season, what if you merely greeted the people around you in your family with a sense of anticipation, not already prepared for the conflict, not already anticipating the problem, but what if you greeted it with a childlike faith that says, you're my mom and I love you and I don't care what the problem is? What if this Christmas season was the year that you allow God to change you in the way that you greeted your family that seems to cause you more headaches than they should? So we love to say at Big Life, we can't change the people around us, but we can change ourselves. And if we change ourselves, it starts to change the things around us. With your family, what if this Christmas season you anticipated family as a gift rather than family as a mere obligation to stay for as little time as you can without looking rude? Think about work. I hear people, I've never really experienced this, but I hear people talk about almost the burden of holiday obligations with the people that they work with. I've had more than one person already tell me, I'm going to go for as short as I can to the drunken office Christmas party. I've only seen those in the office. I've never participated in one. Your church staff does not do that yet. When you think about the obligatory gifts you have to trade, and the party you got to go to, and the boss you got to suck up to, and the appearances that you got to make, what if rather than just kind of cringing to endure, you said, God, this is my mission field. Somebody here is ready for the encouragement that you want to give them, and I'm going to be the one to give it to them. What if we walked in to that stress-laced situation of work obligation and say, God, I'm anticipating you to be here. You've arranged this day and I got to go, so how can I do your work in this spot? A childlike faith anticipates that God is at work even in the stressful situations, because chances are God is more at work in the stressful situations than we could ever imagine. You probably got one neighbor that everybody talks about, right? They're the ones that don't put their lights up, or they're the ones that go out of their way to be a Scrooge impersonator every December. You probably got one neighbor. What if you went out of your way to anticipate and to follow up on bringing a little joy to their life? What if rather than saying this is who they are and that's what they've always been, we got up with excitement and said, God, you're there. God, you want me to go. I'm going to take a card or take some cookies. Nobody turns down cookies. Take a card or take some cookies. But most importantly, take the anticipation, the positivity of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and share a childlike faith with a neighborhood that is sadly too often cynical. You know where you need to do it more than I do. You know where cynicism seems cemented more than I do. My hope for you is that you will jump up out of bed and believe that the light is stronger than the darkness, that love is stronger than the hate, that God is stronger than the forces of this world, and that having a childlike faith is a gift, not a liability. We used to ask my dad how long until cartoon day, and he would let us know, and we would get excited. But after Thanksgiving, we stopped asking how many days until cartoon day. And what does a little boy start asking after Thanksgiving? How many more days until Christmas? We will celebrate Christmas December 25th, but there's no need to wait. When is Christmas real? When you live and wake up and greet the people around you with the gift of Christ. And you celebrate not merely the presence under the tree, but the presence of God that is here. Faith of a child looks at the future and smiles. That's what I want for you. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, there are so many reasons that we can conjure up as to why we would look to the future and not smile. Perhaps it's a family situation that we don't even have the courage to acknowledge. Or maybe it's just what we see with our heavy dose of 24-hour news cycle. It's probably somewhere right in the middle of all that, God, that you are ready to meet us. So we live with anticipation of the future, God, knowing that if we don't, we will miss Jesus. So when you come and show up on the footstep of our life, let us be there to meet you. Let us be prepared to meet you. And let us greet each day as an opportunity to share your good news. It's in Jesus' name we pray.